You are listening to BGU Radio, broadcasting from Ben Gurion University of the Negev.
Hello everyone, my name is Amit Moscovich. I am the head of the university Green Energy student community called Green Negev. I'm also a student in the Department of Economics and Business Management. Daniel Farb here with me, the donor of Tulip Turbine, an amazing, innovative product that produces clean energy from wind and solar energy. Daniel and I just came back from our exciting turbine launching. Welcome, Daniel. How do you feel today?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Dr. Daniel Farb. I'm a joint U.S. and Israeli citizen. And we just came from the launch of one of our combined wind and solar charging stations for e-bikes and for phones on the campus. I've had a very entrepreneurial background in Israel and elsewhere, and I'm very involved in lots of different things. Just a little bit of background, academic background, undergraduate Yale, major English literature, but I did lots of other things, then a medical degree, then a business degree, and work. I've worked as a doctor. I ran a e-learning company in the United States before I moved to Israel, and I also had a couple of inventions then.
So how do you feel about our campus so far?
I've enjoyed being here. It's a very mellow environment and relaxed, and I just like the atmosphere.
Thank you very much. So, Daniel, I wanted to know, what led you to operate in the field of renewable energy as an entrepreneur?
So we're going back to my coming to Israel. To give a little background to it, I've always enjoyed the outdoors. I've always been interested in the environment. And my father was one of the people who helped publicize the ecology movement in the United States. He wrote a lot of the first articles in popular magazines about it. He wrote some books on ecology. One was a Time Life book that was had very large sales, other things about the environment. So I grew up very attuned to the environment. Also, I love the outdoors. I hike, I bike, you know, anyway, so I enjoy it. So when I came to Israel, though, I was thinking of getting into biotech. And then a few weeks after I came here, I visited the Weizmann Science Park. And I was looking at their wave pool, and I had one of those eureka moments where I thought of a way of getting energy out of waves that, as far as I knew, no one had thought of. And so I started researching it a little bit, and my first patent in renewable energy ended up being on waves, wave energy. And I took from there the concept of how I can make big improvements in efficiency by looking at how the flow hits the blades and making that interaction better. And I started to come up with some ideas. I was very lucky to be introduced to a wonderful professor at Tel Aviv University named Professor Rosenfeld, who's an expert in simulation. So I was able to start trying out my ideas, and that led to a whole series of inventions, one of which is the small wind turbine. But that had a separate process. It went through several iterations with the engineering team that I developed here. And so I got very involved in renewable energy here and developed several inventions. The one that we were involved with today is the Wind Tulip Flower Turbines. It's the name of the company. And that's the one that's really attracted the most interest and investment to this point.
Okay, so it sounds that you really have a fascinating background, especially for this matter. And I wanted to know if you could give us some point of view of how it was being an entrepreneur in international scales that are across countries and different kind of sectors.
Well, the first thing is I don't like the jet lag. I don't do too well with that. But it's interesting. It's definitely interesting doing that. You know, there are always innovative people that you're going to find in every culture. I just very much like the Israeli system for that. I found it was a difficult country for me to operate in terms of getting things done. But in terms of the quality of thinking and a number of other things that you find here, I think it was very good. So I really enjoy the work that I do in Israel, as long as it doesn't have to do with encountering the Israeli bureaucracy. So I would say that it's interesting going to other countries and seeing the response to your inventions in different places.
Have you felt the differences in the regulation at each country?
I'd say that Israel is one of the more bureaucratic ones, and it's more difficult to get things done here in general. I think, each place has its own peculiarities. So no place is perfect. You know, one place may be better in one thing. So right now we set up operations for the United States in Texas. So in Texas, it's much easier, especially in rural Texas, to put up something without getting a ton of permits and so forth. So it's different in different places.
So would you say that working in some countries in the USA is easier than the others?
Well, no, I would say I haven't done that much in different states aside from New York. New York, I did some of the research and development there at one of the universities that led to the flower turbines being the way it is. But some places are not good for manufacturing. New York is a high-cost state. It's harder to manufacture there. Texas is lower cost, and they have more manufacturing because they have several industries there that involve manufacturing.
After the road that you have made, could you tell us what do you think necessary skills an entrepreneur should have?
Well, I'd say you have a mix of successes and headaches. And you have to kind of love being somewhat independent and being able to follow something that you like to do, follow your dream, as they say. And you have to believe in it. And hopefully you believe in it because it's good scientifically or for a market or something like that, because you run into lots of barriers all the time. And you have to be willing to sacrifice personally in terms of time, sleep, whatever it is, in order to make it come true. And you have to believe in it and believe that it's important. So I believe that what I'm doing for the environment is important. So that helps me keep going. And I wouldn't mind making a little money from it, too, at the same time.
Yeah, sure. But I'm guessing that you didn't do it for the money. The money was a side bonus as you were aiming for your goals.
Right. It's kind of, secondary. Obviously, it's there, but it's secondary because I have a kind of simple lifestyle. I'm not interested personally in so much money. I like some of the things I could do with it if I became a billionaire. I could accomplish a lot with it, but do I need it? Not really. You know, it's not, we say in Hebrew, Ezehu asher hasameach behelko. It says in Pirkei Avot. It means who's wealthy? Somebody who is happy with his lot. So I'm generally pretty happy with my lot, but I want to accomplish. That's part of my personality as an entrepreneur, is that I'm one of those people that is happiest accomplishing things, creating things.
That is your motivation, right?
That's a large part of my motivation. It makes me happy to create.
It sounds great. So what do you think is the most important thing Israel should do in order to rely and use only renewable energy?
So if you're going to talk just about Israel, I think that there are a few things to do. One is to change the laws that are very restrictive and require everything to be connected into the Chevrat Hashmal. It creates a monopoly. It prevents people from going off-grid or having microgrids. So I think that's one thing. But I think in general, the whole building and zoning process is so complex and difficult that fixing that up would be an important thing to do. And I think it might be just as simple as when you have projects coming up, is you get all the stakeholders from the different bureaucracies in one room at the same time and try to get approvals from all of them together. Maybe that would save 5 years in terms of getting a housing project put together. Another issue is that as Israel is growing, and it's growing very fast, it's harder to retrofit than to build things into the infrastructure as you're building it. So in other words, what is easier? if you want to put wind and solar on top of a building, if you put it on after the building is built, or if it's part of the original plans. So it can be something as simple, for example, wind needs to be placed on strong supports, so you can build stronger supports or a stronger roof in certain areas, in the areas where you would put the wind. So that's something that's closer to what I'm doing. But the point is that if you think ahead and you build this into your infrastructure and you make it, let's say, at the same time you're putting up the building, you put up the solar panels and wind on the roof, it's much less expensive than having to go to an installer and get estimates, and then they might have to change something and run a bunch of wires where it's not really set up for running the wires and so forth. So if you plan it right, you plan it into the new building that's going on, the new enterprises and so forth, I think that would be the best way to make an impact, because it's easier to put it into the planning.
You touched an excellent point, because today, here in Israel, we have a problem of house pricing. Are you suggesting that at the next house planning, we should think about combining renewable energy in those structures?
Right. And also, they should do things like insulate the homes so that it keeps in the heat or the air conditioning. Israeli homes are well known to be rather poorly insulated. And there are a number of other things you can do. There are ways of, there are now solar windows and, ways of managing the shade and so forth. So there are a lot of things that you can do that would modernize the process of building so that you could make buildings require less energy just from the start.
Do you believe that in 10 or 20 years from now, humanity will find a new kind of renewable energy?
Well, I'm not sure we'll have a different kind, but we'll have more efficient. As I mentioned, I have a number of technologies that haven't really been funded yet and taken off. And, I'm sure there are a lot of other people also who have ideas, but they haven't yet been brought to market. So, it could be something like waves, which isn't done so much of, and which my inventions could help. But I think there are a lot of things out there that don't get recognition adequately. And part of the problem is that, in general, venture capital does not support industries that make things. So I understand it's a lot faster and cheaper to make something digital and scale it. But something where you're making something, it can be better for the long term. So to some extent, I think they need to change, the world needs to change its investment habits.
You touched an excellent point, because right now the world is in recession, as they are mentioning. More and more investment are going to value investment and less dream and hope for a good return kind of investment. So I'm thinking, in my point of view, that right now we'll see less and less investment in apps and that kind of thing in digital. And I think that we see more and more investment in materials, in building, in construction, in renewable energy, because I think it gives a direct value for the investment. Would you agree about this?
Yes and no. I'll tell you the reasons I say yes and the reasons I say no. So the reasons I'd say yes is that there's more of a commitment nowadays to funding things that have to do with the climate crisis. And that makes a difference. And some of them are raising what they call patient capital, the kind of capital from investors who don't mind waiting a little bit longer for their return. But no, in the sense, I've also been to venture capital where they tell me, oh, Dr. Farb, you're doing wonderful job. You're doing so such interesting things. But it's not for us. And what that really means is they're looking for something that's digital and that they can sell off quickly. So to meet their cycle of investment and appeal to their investors. So yes and no. you know, there's more of a trend in that direction. But when you actually see and watch what they're investing in, it might be, again, maybe it's an app to do something with clean energy. Maybe so you can order, let's say, renewable energy from your utility a little bit more easily, but it doesn't change the actual energy production. You need things to do that. So you have both. It's going in both ways.
Okay. So do you have any thought about a solution for this?
I'm not sure, but I think that some of the short-term thinking has to change in order to accomplish this. In other words, people have to see that maybe, I mean, you could make a fortune on Uber, but you could also lose a fortune on Uber once there's competition, because there's nothing special. But a lot of the things have real patents and have real distinction, but they take longer to build and longer to scale up. So it really, I would say that change in the investment community would make a major impact. And also, there's an issue with grants, because a lot of the process of granting is based on looking at companies in terms of digital and so forth. And I have nothing against digital, but just there's a limit to what it can do. It can't make things. It can't live in a digital house. You don't have walls of cell phones.
That's all of a different topic, right? it's the metaverse and all kind of thing. But yeah. Also this is based on energy. Also all of the digital, we need electricity at the end, and the electricity need to come from a kind of energy.
Sure.
I have a final question, and I wanted to ask you, you have a lot of wisdom and you have a lot of experience.
I hope so.
you do. You have a lot of experience. You have been all around the world. You've seen all kind of things. What kind of advice could you give for a young entrepreneur in the field of renewable energy or in the field of entrepreneurship at all?
That's a pretty hard question. I would say first, assess yourself. See if you can really handle it for the long run. There are going to be ups and downs. Can you handle the downs? Can you handle it emotionally, financially, career-wise, family-wise, all these things? You have to know what you can do. And you'd be prepared. It may not be a walk in the park at the beginning. And if you look at some of the history of some of the great entrepreneurs, they had difficult times too. You look at the way that Jeff Bezos built up Amazon. It took many years. He would sometimes have to go in himself and put together packages of books, right, in order to fill in. Steve Jobs was kicked out of Apple until they brought him back. You know, there are all sorts of ups and downs, but you have to make sure you're determined. I think that's part of it. And you have to be determined in a good way. Let's say if someone is determined to commit a crime, very often he'll succeed, but you know, you want to have a determination to really accomplish something that's worthwhile, and that helps a lot.
Something ethical.
Yes, something ethical. Okay. Something ethical, and also that makes sense either in science or business, that you're addressing a need. So that's something they always talk about in business classes, is that you have to meet a market need. I'm sure you've heard of the courses put together by Professor Blank at Stanford, where you try to assess what's the minimum viable product, that kind of approach. You want to make sure that somebody actually wants or will buy what you are creating.
Okay. And that's right. So I wrote everything that you said, and it's a good notice. And I wanted to ask you if there's anything else that we haven't discussed about, and I don't know if it's about something personal or...
Well, I'd love anything. To tell you how wonderful my company is, Flower Turbines, that we just had the dedication of one of our products here. I believe that small wind is like the missing key of the puzzle of big wind, big solar, small wind, and small solar. And it hasn't succeeded because there are technology points that nobody really solved. I believe that I've solved them. And I'm trying to make flower turbines into a globally prominent industry and a well-known brand because it also looks beautiful. And
that's right. I saw it.
If we want to make wind energy beautiful. And it's somewhat like before Nike, sneakers were sneakers, but then they became special. They looked special, right? So why not make wind energy as beautiful as a beautiful watch or a beautiful sneaker or some whatever it is, an item that people love to own. So that certainly is part of it, but the basis of it is all hard science behind it. And I think we have something special. And I'll just mention for those who are interested that we're about to start a new funding round, and there are links to it. It's equity crowdfunding. That means that people can invest with as little as $600 and get shares in the company. And we've been very successful at this, and we're about to open a new round. And right now you can reserve spots in it. Two of our rounds were sold out. So if you want to get in on it, this is our fourth round. And on the website, flowerturbines.com, you can do that. Or you can see about buying our turbines also by going there and filling out the right form or contacting support.
Perfect. Thank you very much for coming here today, for coming to Israel, coming to Be'er Sheva, and especially hosting in this kind of show. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.